I have the great pleasure and delight of welcoming, I called her our down-home guest preacher. Kathy Reiter should be familiar to many of us, but perhaps not all of us, because when she relocated to Astoria, we see her less frequently, where she is with her delightful partner, Dinah. Hi, Dinah. And caring for her family in Astoria, as well as working on her Master of Divinity degree at Seattle University. Please welcome Kathy Reiter to the pulpit of MCC Portland.
Thank you. As some of you already know, about 2 years ago, I left my job, sold my house, moved, and began a new journey, pursuing a Master's of Divinity degree at Seattle University. With my roots grounded in MCC, I come from a stance of worthiness. I believe we are all God's beloved children, and we are all worthy. Coming from this place, most of my research and papers have focused on worthiness, and I've come to believe the cornerstone of worthiness is being included in community. So today, on Pentecost, when we celebrate the Holy Spirit descending upon the disciples and allowing them to speak another language, I ask, how does our language connect and or disconnect us to one another? How can we use language to build community and promote a sense of worthiness? And suddenly, from heaven, there came a sound like a rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as a fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. Through tongues as a fire, the Holy Spirit allowed the disciples to bridge differences so others, those from every nation, could hear about God's deeds and power. Through a change in language, boundaries were erased, and the Galileans expanded their community. Does my choice of words bridge differences, erase boundaries, and build community? Metropolitan Community Church's statement of faith says, "We are people on a journey." Learning to live in our spirituality while affirming our bodies, our genders, our sexualities, we don't all believe exactly the same thing. And yet, in the midst of our diversity, we build community grounded in God's radically inclusive love for all people. One way MCC started being radically inclusive was choosing to use inclusive language in worship. So how do we become radically inclusive in our daily lives? To begin with, it takes both courage and vulnerability. Pentecost can be viewed as the inspiration, the in-breathing of God's Holy Spirit, the Spirit of life, encouraging us to be vulnerable. For it is in our vulnerability our soul is exposed. It is then we can look deeply at ourselves and learn who we are. Learn what is important to us. It is in our vulnerability we connect and truly connect to one another. To expose oneself and be vulnerable takes courage. Brené Brown says, "Courage is a heart word. The root of the word courage is core, the Latin word for heart." In one of its earliest forms, the word courage meant to speak one's mind by telling all one's heart. Courage comes from the heart as a source of emotion. Opening one's heart or telling all one's heart to another makes us vulnerable to feelings such as embarrassment, shame, and unworthiness. To be courageous and allow oneself to be vulnerable opens us up to recognizing the boundaries that exist between our identities and our expressions. Recognizing these boundaries can allow us to soften our borders and encourage us to use neutral language, creating a safe space for us to share our stories and start to erase the lines of us and them. It helps us relate to and recognize God in each other. From a very young age, we learn to compare and contrast. Who is faster, taller, thinner, richer, prettier. When we compare and contrast, there's always a loser. One becomes better or more valued, and the other suddenly holds less value. When we contrast, we look for things in people with a critical eye. We look for differences, and that difference becomes a weakness or a strength to be weighed against the other. When we critically search for difference in each other, unity breaks down, and we push people to the margins of society. When we create a them versus us style of thinking, we become disconnected, fall out of relationship, and stop seeing God in each other. We do not thrive. Dualistic language, subtly and maybe even unconsciously, encourages comparing and contrasting. I hear the word light, and instantly my mind engages in a word association game, and I think dark or short versus tall. This comparative thinking creates divisions, encourages us to take sides, and breaks apart our relationships and communities, disconnecting us from God and each other. Our language also tends to be violent, exclusive, and male. We say, kill two birds with one stone, meaning accomplishing two things at once. I say, I'm fighting a cold, instead of kinder, gentler words, I'm healing from a cold. Or I am battling a disease instead of undergoing treatment. Many of us still use terms with negative connotations that offend, thus exclude people. For example, black male, or to be blackballed. Many areas of our culture are slowly changing from male-only language to more inclusive language. Humankind is replacing the word mankind. We no longer have mailmen, we have letter carriers. Workman has been changed to worker, but we still have a very long way to go to include, thus valuing both genders and non-binary gendered people. Years ago, I was so honored and excited to finally be included and invited to go commercial fishing on my dad's boat in Bristol Bay, Alaska. My brothers had been fishing with my dad for years, but I was not allowed to go until the cannery camp provided women's bathroom facilities. Once I arrived, most of the camp saw me as intruding into men's country. I was referred to as one of the rider boys. Even my dad, who loves and adores me, would say, "Let's go, men." To him, this was a compliment, a way of saying I was doing a good job. I was holding my own. I was part of the crew. My head knew this, but my heart did not. For how do I value my femininity when my highest compliments are given in male terms? "Oh, that's Kathy, one of the rider boys. She's got cojones." Do I have to be masculine to be worthy? For me to fit in, I needed to morph into the masculine world. But then how do I learn to love myself? How do I honor my femaleness? How do I learn, not just in my head, but deep in my bones, that even as a woman, I am a beloved child of God? Exclusive and violent phrases are so deeply rooted in our language, we barely seem to notice them. But I do believe they influence our thoughts and actions and disconnect us from God. In the fish camp, and even on my family boat, I was odd man out. I was female. Inclusive language honors people as opposed to devaluing them. Nonviolent language conveys respect, is life-affirming, and empowers people. Inclusive language strengthens community as it is both allows and promotes diversity. Language has the power to weaken and even erase the emotional borders that marginalize people. Small changes in our vocabulary encourage us to thrive. we are all provided with equal worth. Once we are all thought to be of worth, we are one step closer to a world of peace. Choosing to use inclusive language is one simple step towards peace and unity by promoting the worthiness of others. Language has the power to write people in and or out of the narrative. We've all heard them, experienced them, and maybe even said them. Phrases that exclude, diminish, or devalue. Oh man, he was crying like a little baby. That's so gay. You throw like a girl. Or even raghead. These derogatory phrases perpetuate the okayness of gender pay gap, racial profiling, fewer people of color being elected into public office, street harassment, and gay bashing. I think of language as a double-edged sword. It can be used as a weapon or a tool. As a weapon, it writes people out of the narrative by reinforcing stereotypes and assumptions. As a weapon, it continues to promote our prejudices, especially as it relates to gender, race, sexual orientation, class, age, country of origin, and even our perceived abilities, disabilities. As a tool, it has the power to invite people into the narrative, invite them into community, and provide them with a sense of belonging and worth. How easy would it have been for my dad to substitute, "Come on, crew," or "Come on, team," when referring to me and my two brothers? How easy would it have been not to exclude my femininity, use gender-neutral language, and send me and my brothers the unspoken message, male or female, you are all of equal worth? What if we read the verse from Acts as the Holy Spirit breaking down our gender, national, and ethnic identities? What if the message is encouraging us to look at our differences from a different perspective? In an article titled, "Think Differently About Difference," Reverend Dr. Eric Barreto says, "The story of Pentecost in Acts helps us to understand how God sees human diversity as one of God's greatest gifts to the world." Let me say that again. God sees human diversity as one of God's greatest gifts to the world. At Pentecost, God, through the Spirit, does not erase our differences, but embraces the fact that God has made us so wonderfully different. The problem is not our differences. God, through the Holy Spirit, embraces and rejoices in them. It is when we start to compare and contrast, when we start to measure and place value on traits, skin color, class, nationality, that problems arrive and unworthiness rears its head. When we value mirror images of ourself as better than another, we promote racism, classism, sexism, and any other ism. We write people out of the narrative and push them to the margins. Our differences do not need to be solved, for they are not problems. Our differences are a gift to be embraced and celebrated. Let's set aside our fear of difference, lean into them, embrace them, celebrate them. Let's replace the fear of difference with love. Choose Spirit's inclusive language of love and acceptance, and encourage people to be different from ourselves. Encourage them to live into their authentic self. Earlier, Betty read the beautiful poem by Maya Angelou. I'd like to read it again, but with a twist. For this is how I understand the poem in relation to our scripture reading from Acts. I hope Maya Angelou forgives me for messing with her poem. "We, unaccustomed to courage, exiles from delight, live coiled in shells of loneliness until love in the form of Spirit leaves its high holy temple and comes into our sight and liberates us into life as our authentic self. Spirit arrives and in its train comes ecstasies, old memories of pleasure, ancient histories of pain. Yet, if we are bold, spirit strikes away the chains of fear from our souls. We are weaned from our timidity. In the flush of spirit's light, we dare be brave, and suddenly we see that love costs all we are and will ever be. Yet it is only love which sets us free. It is through love language of spirit that we experience vulnerability. It is through spirit we can be courageous and embrace our differences and encourage one another to become their authentic selves. By choosing to use inclusive, nonviolent language, we move people from the margins and welcome them into community. We thrive and move closer to peace in the world. Language has power. Use your words and your power wisely. Amen.